Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. For joining us with another live episode of Live and Life. Yeah, that's what I was about to say, wasn't it? I think.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes. I am your host, you Love. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I promise you I am. I ain't no imposter sitting in today's show. No, it's me. And I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Raji Love.
How are you feeling this morning?
I am wonderful this morning.
Well, as am I, but I will start the show off the right way, the respect way, y'all. Our other lovely co-host, Miss Mahogany, she is not going to be with us today or this weekend. She's actually in New Orleans because recently her mother passed away. And really recently, like 2 days ago, blessed be. So we're going to be praying for her and her family and, of course, all of us that love Miss Joan to death. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a moment of silence for the honor of this lady because she was such a presence to most of us that knew her, I would say. So we'll take a moment. Okay, now on the other end of the spectrum, child, it's time to get some good news going. So let us just give out some good birthday wishes. Y'all know we got some coming up this week. Well, I only have two, actually, but one of them we already gave a good birthday wish to, which was Mr. Cameron Blaine, because we did that last week. But today is his birthday, so I'm going to just say happy birthday again to you, dude, and enjoy your birthday. Because I know you will. Miss Kiki, that's your brother, but you know how he do more than I do. So how does he do?
He's all turned up. I don't know. I got to see if I can find him anyway.
See? And if you can't find him, that means he's somewhere turning up.
Yeah.
Basically. And also coming up on Wednesday, July the 20th, my cousin, it is her birthday, Miss Chantel Holloman. Yes, ma'am. And I know how she do. So, yeah, she's going to be turning up. Probably tomorrow, Tuesday, because she's going to have to sleep on Monday because she's probably going to contemplate going to work. And then Wednesday, yeah, she definitely still going out, regardless that she got to be to work on Thursday. And then Friday, so much, yeah, she's going to be turning up again then. And then it's the weekend, so she's going to turn up some more and then probably get some good rest on Sunday. Who knows, you know? But, yeah, she's going to be turning up. Yes, she will be. Bless her heart. Turning that little ripe old age of 33. Good grief. Girl. Yes, indeedy. Bless her heart. So, yes, that's my birthday wishes for the week, Miss Mahogany. I mean, we'll see. Miss Kiki, how many birthdays you got this week going?
I got quite a few.
Well, girl, give us some good ones, child.
All right. Well, Roger Love, I already said happy birthday to my brother Cameron.
Yes.
Then my hairdresser, I think we did go over these last week, but her birthday is also today. Her name is Melanie Renee.
Mm.
Happy birthday, Melanie. Well, I know it's Melanie Robinson. Also on July 19th is Nate Jefferson. Happy birthday, Nate. His birthday is July 19th. Also on July 19th is my cousin. And his name is Kenneth Scott, and his birthday is July 19th. And on July 20th, I have William Carroll. He's turned 41. Happy birthday, William. And also, oh, that's Chantel. That Roger Love already said. So happy birthday, y'all.
Hello. Happy birthday, y'all, and junk and stuff. Yes. It's not a well. I didn't have that many, but, child, I'm glad you had some for you, child. Give out some nice wishes and junk and stuff, because I was like, yeah, I don't have that many this week for some reason. I thought, you know, this week would be a decent week. But I guess most of mine came out last week, and then I got some that's coming up next week. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, it's an even trade, it is, I guess.
I guess.
All right, girl, let's get this day started off, child, with some stuff to talk about, child. Now, what are we going to talk about today, Miss Kiki?
All right, first I got to drop some bombs on y'all. Some things happened. A couple of weeks ago, before I get to that, you know, I'm going to lighten up the mood a little bit after our lovely birthday wishes. Well, let me get the tea. Here you go, y'all. Timo was caught cheating on Vince. Vince is getting a divorce. Tamar Braxton. And then
what?
Yes, honey, yes. It was reported last night by B. Scott, one of their close friends and biggest bloggers. And she posted that, yes, it has been confirmed. Tamar was cheating. Vince hired a private investigator. And he is leaving, and he's going to take full custody of Logan. So they're going to go to, they're going to be headed to the divorce court.
Now, okay, nothing. Okay, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there some kind of reports that was saying that Vince had cheated on her before?
Well, before they got married, Vince was actually dating someone else. And Tamar actually followed him and found out who the girl was and all this. And that's when he, in the midst of all that, he asked her to marry him. But they were dating. They wasn't married.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. So, yes.
Is Tamar acting out for somebody else after that whole debacle with, I'm telling you, child, where it stemmed from. I just feel it because, you know, Your husband is supposed to be one of the producers on a show that you actually got fired from. Like, how does that happen, girl? Am I being...
Right, and that's what I think it is, too.
Okay, so it's not just me?
Not just you. I'm thinking that, too. You knew some things was going down, and you didn't tell me.
Okay, no, you called her over the phone to tell her this stuff. That she,
yes.
Not that, okay, some stuff is, might be. No, you called her to tell her over the phone that she had been fired.
Fired.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So,
did they discover who the person was that she was being seen with? Because I hope it's an upgrade,
John. Well, no, they haven't said that. Again, this time the probably get investigated. Excuse me. Vince hired the private investigator, so I guess he's not going to let that be out yet. Some people say they have pictures floating around the internet. I haven't seen it, but I just was like, yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen because he was the producer. But he got fired too, so.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know me, you know y'all. I'm going to just let y'all know this. Tea. Okay.
I'm just wondering, y'all, because you know with all of the stuff that's going on, it's like, okay, she got a new job already, child, and now this coming out, floating around, child. Okay, she got caught cheating. Not just rumors. It's no, she done got caught cheating.
Right.
With something.
Right.
It's like, really, girl? Tamar, really? How you gonna be doing a show called Braxton Family Value?
Right?
And be doing some foolishness like that. Now, I know your sisters have got your bad girl, but they're gonna probably have an intervention with you on that one, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Yes. That might make me watch that episode, too, because you know what? I actually saw some episodes while I was over there visiting Miss Mahogany. And it was on the TV. So I'm like, you know, I don't mind watching stuff when it just happened to be on. But it's like I don't make it a point to watch Braxton Family Values. But it's the stuff, you know, if it's on, I might sit there and watch it. Now, some things I might turn on, like, you know, Love and Hip Hop Foolishness. Yeah. But that one, you know, if it's on, I can sit there and watch it. But it's like, yeah. Now, you basically was going in on your sister Trina, child, because she was trying to get, you know, get some past. Some closure and some past stuff and with her husband, Gabe, you know, and we all know you don't like him because you made it plain and clear. Yeah, you didn't. And so, I mean, we don't blame you for not liking him. But now you in that boat kind of stuff. How you treating these people, child? It's like, okay, girl.
Nah. Side-eyeing you all the way to the left.
Yeah, sure. I'm about to shock you, girl. I'm about to shock you.
What?
Good morning, Miss Mahogany.
Good morning, Maji Love. Good morning, Kiki. Good morning.
Girl. Now, you know we were thinking that you were going to be taking the day off, child, because you got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I'm just dropping in, letting everyone know that I'm okay. We're doing fine. You know, I said, oh, my goodness, it's that time. Look.
Yeah.
You know, it's that time for the show.
Halfway through.
So I figured I'd call in and say hi, and I'm okay, and we're good, and God is good, and I love y'all.
Okay. We love
you. We love you, too.
We had to give a moment of silence for your mother, child, because, yes, she means a lot to everybody, not just some, but everybody that I know of that know her.
So. Everybody. Yes, yeah, she will be missed. She will be missed.
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, I had to check in with y'all and let y'all know that I'm okay, and let those viewers know, the listeners know that I'm okay, too. You know,
it's a life cycle.
It's a life cycle.
It is.
More disappointing than anything. It's just, you know, a little disappointing. You know, I'm not mad. I'm not sad. I'm just disappointed.
Well,
that's all.
Okay. It is life, honey. That is all a part of a life, child. But not the end.
Oh,
that's
yes.
not always. So.
And you know what the Lord will say? You know what the Lord would say?
Well
suck it
done.
Up. No, suck it up.
Well done. The Lord would be like, look, we know. Okay, now, just no. Just go. Okay, just do you. Pull it together, honey. Pull it together.
Right, pull it together. Okay, I got you. Pull it together, I got you. Okay. All right.
Dang. Well, honey, well, you're just in time to get some tea from Miss Kiki, child. Did you hear the tea that we were just spilling all over the place about Miss Tamar?
No, sir. I just looked at the clock and I said, well, let me call in and dip in.
Well, child, the tea is that Miss Tamar, well, her husband Vince decided to hire a private investigator to have her followed and found that she has actually been having an affair.
That's not too shocking.
Well,
not at all.
Like I was as Kiki, I'm like, considering that, you know, that he was the executive producer on the show that she got fired from, I think that kind of stemmed a little bit up into that situation. It was like some little resentment and stuff, so she's just like, well, you know what, I don't know how much of my back he had, so whatever. But at the same time now, she's on a show called Braxton Family Values. Sister's going to be looking at you a little bit side-eyed, girl, even though they're going to have your back, but they're going to have an intervention on this one, I'm thinking. Yes. Can't let that one just go. No, you have hair on your husband, girl, and then we got this show going on called Braxton Family Values. Really, girl? Really? Really, Tamar? You know, it is what it is, honey. We can't, you know, judge, but, you know, we can do it a little bit, I guess. We can side-eye.
No.
Can we?
I can.
We can't judge, but we can side-eye.
Yeah. I was about to say I get paid to judge, but no, that's my other job.
No, judging is not a paid thing. It's just a benefit. That's all. But yes, and Miss Kiki, what else you got going on this thing?
Well, I know y'all don't watch Love & Hip Hop, but Miss Jocelyn Hernandez, who is supposedly married to Stevie J.
Supposedly married to her?
Well, yeah, because Stevie J has come out last week and said that they wasn't really married. It was just a hoax. They were just saying that for a publicity stunt, pretty much.
Oh, my goodness.
And But come to find out, Jocelyn Hernandez is really married to someone else, and she has been married to Ms. Shanetica. That's her real name. Her name, real name is Shanetica. Shanetica is married and has been married for the last 10 years.
Shanetica?
Yes.
That right there is enough. Just saying that name, Shanetica.
She needs to stop the shenanigans and sit down somewhere.
People just keep doing everything in their power to just have something be said about them. And I'm like, you know what? See, I just made it clear that, you know, certain things that I just don't watch, that's one of them. That would be one of the things that if it popped up on the TV, I would change the channel.
Yeah, it's for entertainment purposes. Mona Scott, you know, black woman doing her thing. And I'm going to support them. And I'll watch all the ratchetness, and that'll be my ratchetness for the week that I love.
See, the one thing that I can't stand is having people shine in a bad light. That's the thing. And it's like, especially when it's a reflection of how you think. Society is also a big part of that, too. It's like society is going to be looking at this and just take that, and you know how they do. Oh, that's how they are. That's just how they are. And that's not everybody. It's not y'all. We promise y'all it's not. Now, we get a little bit of, you know, ratchetity here and there on this show, but when we're talking about other ratchetity, it's kind of like a contagious thing. You know, it's like it happens sometimes. But for the most part, we keep it classy. We keep it nice. We keep it simple, respectful. But some things that go, you know, it's like that show to me is it's too much of that. You know, it's understandable that when you're in a reality situation, there's going to be some ratchetity that goes on in everything, and that's a part of reality. We get that. But when that's, to me, that's the foundation of this show, it's just too much, too much. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
Well, enough about the ratchetness. Let's bring on to some seriousness. Well, no, she ratchet too.
Oh.
Ms. Wendy Williams had Roland Martin on her show this week.
Oh, he was on the show.
Yes, Roland was on the show. After Wendy made some negative comments, her audience, when Wendy made the comments about the HBCUs and the different comments she made about black issues that she pretended she didn't understand. None of the audience clapped. She didn't get a clap when she tried to make her little jokes about it. And she claimed she really didn't understand. Well, one of her major endorsements, Chevrolet, pulled out on her because they felt that Wendy Williams made some statements that wasn't nice. So one of her largest endorsements pulled out. And once her largest endorsements pulled out, she called Roland Martin to come to the show and explain to her things that she didn't understand. So I listened to the interview, and Roland Martin did educate her on a lot of things. But one thing that he said was, we wasn't really out of slavery and bondage until 1970. And he said he's 46, and he was born in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so when he was born, he wasn't really an African-American. And Wendy was like, oh, my God, it was that bad back then? And Wendy is 52. So Wendy stopped. She backpedaled. She apologized to her viewers, and she thanked Roland Martin for coming and educating her on all the black views that she pointed on that she didn't understand. Well, Roland Martin said that he was, you know, an alpha, and she was like, oh, if you're an alpha, my dad and my brother are alphas as well. So if you have a brother and a father who is actually an African-American fraternity, they make sure that you know these type of things. And Wendy really, she really made me step back when I was listening to her because she the one that almost grilled Raven Simone for making stupid comments. And Raven Simone is much younger than Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at the end of the whole interview, Wendy tells a story about what happened to her on Monday. Now, remember, Roland Martin came on the show Friday. Wendy says that she was in the cosmetic department getting some cosmetics, and she heard over the loudspeaker, they say, need an associate in cosmetics. Well, she says she didn't ask for any associates, and there was no one else in cosmetics. So she says she knew what that meant, a black person in cosmetics. That was a slap in the face. Now, Wendy, their story happened 2 days ago. When you came back on your show, you would have said, I think you just used that so you could relate to black people because a lot of your endorsements was pulling away. And she was trying to get them back. But with your platform as a black woman, you have to be careful of what you say and don't down your black people because you're thinking you're going to get bigger endorsements. Because at the end of the day, the people that follow you are usually going to be your loyal supporters. And when you were on the radio and you're from Jersey, a lot of your supporters are probably minority. Speaking of Puerto Ricans, black, Mexican, Spanish, Mexican, Asians, not Spanish. So you have to remember where you came from and remember the stupid things that come out of your mouth. I was really shocked and appalled by Wendy Williams. Even though I don't watch her, everybody watches her because of her comedic.
Gotcha.
Yes, thank you. I have my retainer in my mouth. I apologize. Views on celebrity gossip. So if that's what you are known for and that's what people love you at, stick to that. Stay away from politics. I know you had to touch on it because it was something going on. Everybody was upset about Black Lives Matter, not Blue Lives, not Purple Lives, but Black Lives Matter. And not saying that all other lives don't matter, but that was the whole movement that was going on at the time. So I know you wanted to address it, but you addressed it in the wrong way, and it wasn't funny. So that's my little rant on Wendy, Miss Wendy Williams.
And see, now we did kind of touch on this prior, but what I was actually saying also when I was hearing Miss Kiki tell me what this whole thing about, you know, was about, because I was like, you know, in my own headspace going through different things myself to read it because I wasn't able to sit down and actually read it before I actually, you know, was looking to talk about it. But when she was telling me what was actually going on and what was being said, and I'm like, you know what, it puts me in that mind frame to let people really realize and know that, you know, Southern black people and Northern black people, even though we are all African-American, black, historic, whatever you want to call us, in this country, there was still a big difference as to the level of things that we've experienced in the North and the South.
Mentality. I would agree with that. A mentality.
Yes.
They have a different mindset
mentality,
than what Southern blacks
yes.
do.
It's, yeah, and it's because of the experience. I mean, if you remember, child, the Southern slaves that were in, you know, that basically were here, they basically escaped to get to the North because of how things were, at least historically, then in the North. And if you one of those children that were actually born and raised in the North, it's like that is why I think you have a different view of things than what we do in the South as far as the history of this country. And Wendy is a true Northerner, born and raised in the North, you know, New Jersey, New York area. That's where she was born.
But so is Roland Martin.
He is, but Roland Martin is, like you said, he came to a historically black college. He actually did historically
he's a black man. He's a black man.
Exactly.
He's
a black man in America.
It's different
still,
for a black woman.
He may have been born in the North, but he's still a black man. And they still have a bit of a different, you know, treatment, especially in the North and the South. But there's still a level of the things that you go through in the South that you really still that you don't see a lot more of in the North, should I say. But Roland Martin basically being a black man, yes, he came to a historically black college. He grew, you know, that was his lineage, and that's how he still knows so much about the history of what's going on. Wendy Williams is a black woman. She grew up in the North, and she still had a different experience up there. But it's still, I can't. Ooh, what the heck was that?
Hello?
Hello,
are we there? We're here? I don't know.
We're here.
I don't know. Probably my cheek. I'm sorry. But she's, I didn't mean to even interrupt at all, but she is a, you know, she grew up in the suburbs and a middle class family. Her parents were teachers. And, you know, it was, she had a different upbringing than what Roland did. You know, it's,
exactly.
It's, yeah, it's a different view. It's a different life lessons and stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, she's a bit ignorant. Yeah, I give you that, Kiki. She's a bit ignorant, but you can't pay attention to everything that come out of her mouth, but she do need better handlers. She really do.
My thing is I look at it like this. When people have that different kind of upbringing, sometimes, I mean, I can't look past it, but I give them okay, let's just educate her kind of moment. And that's what I think Roland Martin did, too, and I appreciated him doing that instead of just basically reaming her for what she just
exactly.
may not. No, you know?
I don't mean to interrupt you, Rajala, but she's 52 years old.
Yeah.
She was around when Martin Luther King was doing his marches. And everybody in the North, South, East, and West, because when Kennedy was killed, she was alive.
Yeah.
And the whole controversy, and Kennedy lived in D.C. as well, okay? So all the controversy and everything that was going on, in the North, they were still rooting for us to be give equal rights. A lot of the northern states, some had equal rights, but we are still fighting right now. Last month, a school in Mississippi was just desegregated a month ago. We still had where there were slaves in 1992 in Mississippi. So, yes, the South is still going through it, but the North actually knew what was actually going on.
The North
Nobody was
knew,
it.
Girl, but this is
hold
a...
Hold on.
A lot of
when
stuff,
Dr.
but if
Martin
you're still
King,
not experiencing
hold,
it yourself, it still
hold
doesn't
on,
affect
hold on. They
you.
Did. They did. They also, it wasn't just the South that did the sit-ins and the South
no.
that did the bus.
No,
it wasn't.
That's not what I'm saying,
so my,
though. That right there is not what I'm saying.
Wait, hold on. Can you listen to me, please?
What do you think? Are you,
about,
girl? But I'm about to cut you off too, though. At this point, because
I just want to make this
yeah, though everybody knows a lot of stuff of what is going on, it still affects people differently because of what they actually experience in their own life.
Her comment was, and all that is relevant with what you're saying. But what her comment was, she doesn't understand why HBCUs is named HBCUs. And white colleges are not known as HWCU.
Yeah.
That was an ignorant comment.
It was an ignorant
comment
based upon a
person
who apparently has not gone to an HBCU. And again,
right.
that would
right.
be a direct effect from her upbringing. This woman went to the colleges that she went to, which probably were predominantly, well, at the time she went, they may have been predominantly white, but she still probably had a good bit of black people that were around her, too, because of where she grew up. She grew up in the suburbs in the North, and that was her experience. Like I said, Roland Martin went to a historically black college, and he was brought up in a historically black fraternity. That's the experience. And a different outlook on things. So that's why I said it's not just people just really, truly not knowing. Because I would even say the same thing with Raven Simone. That's why I said now she's 30 years old. You can get to a point where you can start learning things, but she's still young. And a lot of the stuff that she gets comes from her experience being a child actress coming up in Hollywood and not truly experiencing a lot of the stuff that the everyday average black person, considering that she looks like she is biracial, but the everyday black person goes through, they have that different view because of their upbringing. They have a different outlook on things because of how they actually came up. And it's not because they don't have access to television to see or the radio to hear about the different things that are going through, But with their experience personally, it's still going to come out a different way for them, at least how they're looking at it, because it's not what they actually experienced themselves. We
Bullshit.
Came up with South. You know, we grew
Bullshit.
Up.
He's not giving them a pass. He's not giving them a pass.
She just said she was at the cosmetic department in New York in 2016, and
mm-hmm.
somebody called and said a black person was in the store. Don't think it don't happen up there, because it does. The majority
it's not
of in
that.
The
thing.
It does.
I'm not
it does.
That
it happens
does.
In
the not,
suburbs.
Not
in
this,
the north.
I keep saying it's still an individual experience. Everybody is not going to experience everything the same way. Because I'm going to tell you this. Now, even though I'm a black man that grew up in the South, that's me. I'm a black man that grew up in the South. I grew up in New Orleans just like you did for the most part. I, to this day, still have not had, well, let me say it. I have not experienced my first, what I thought of as a racial encounter, literally until I moved here to Georgia. And I know, being that I'm a black man in the South, that this stuff happens all over the place in the South. But me personally have never experienced something until I moved here. And you know, I
me
was
too.
23 years old when
me
I
too.
Moved here.
I
it happened a
experience.
Couple of years after I got here that I've actually
yep.
experienced what I felt like was a true racist situation. So
wait,
that's
hold
what
on.
My
hold on.
Well,
mine was at the gay bar. Mine was at the gay bar. I had a racial experience at the gay bar, bitch.
At a gay bar.
At the gay
See?
Bar. At a
Mine
gay bar, bitch.
In D.C., my first one.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 17, 16.
See? Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's not that I'm saying that it does not happen everywhere, because true, it does happen everywhere. But what I'm saying is through your personal experience is how people get the views that they have of different things. And to me, it's like for her to say that she doesn't understand why they call them historically black colleges is because of her upbringing. She didn't go to a historically black college, and she grew up in the North. Even though you still see other things or you hear these stories about what other people experience, if you don't experience these certain things, then you still truly can't say that you get a full grasp of everything that goes on in that whole situation. You can still be completely oblivious and ignorant to some stuff. Because if I have not experienced the whole thing that people talk about myself personally, then I can still have that view as to where I don't understand what people are always talking about, where, you know, there are so many racist cops. I've never had an experience with a racist cop. Every time I've gotten stopped, it was always because of something. No, I can't say that now, because I've experienced that. But some people, if you never experience these things, then you can't really say you can mm-hmm. blame them for what it is that they truly just don't actually understand, because they've never been through it. So I'm like, I can't fault her for that, but at the same time, at least in the knowing of knowing that she was basically coming off as stupid, I don't know. But at least she actually took that extra step to let somebody come on there to try to really explain some stuff to her. I mean,
no, she only did that because she lost a major endorsement.
Well, that being the case, even still, you know. But a lot of people, like Ms. Raven Simone, child, she can care less about endorsements.
Because
at,
she didn't get any endorsements taken away. When you deal with their money.
Exactly.
It
was
a black,
that's what I'm saying.
Black,
she didn't get anything taken away
out.
From her, but she still, they were still, they, child, you know, Raven, actually, I would say this. But from the view, they've been talking about doing the letter signing to get Raven Simone taken off the show. Lord knows.
I mean, they can say whatever they want, but if
they
can.
But my thing is, sometimes
they want to take her off.
Now she could have lost her job a long time ago. They just chose not to do it. But she still
because they want a controversial person on the view. However, Wendy Williams, because Raven Simone is young, and everybody talked that up to her being young. Wendy Williams is 52 years old, and the platform that she has, being in Jersey where racism is ridiculous, Mahogany said,
her call dropped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She dropped the phone, tell her radio, I love them.
Okay, wait, she dropped the phone?
Yeah, her cheek dropped the phone.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, with Raven Simone, she's young, she's impressionable. So people understand that Wendy Williams being 52 years old and everything that in that time, now remember, we were born in the 70s, okay? She was born in the 60s. And I don't give a damn if you was in the north or the south. My grandmother lived in Chicago. And racism is racism. In 1970, a whole, it was a black business district, and it was all burned down. And this was in the north. Actually, it was in, I want to say, I forgot what city it was in. But it was in the north. It's not that, regardless, because back then, black folks, even in the north, didn't have suburbs just for themselves. They lived in black suburbs. They couldn't live with the white people, even in the north. They can shop with them. They can work with them, but they didn't live with them. They was desegregated, but they didn't live in their neighborhoods. So that being said, and y'all wouldn't know that, and that's why you made that comment. Well, she lived around, she worked, she did not. In her growing up, she did not live in, around white people. She lived in black, she lived in Jersey.
No, we didn't say she lived around white people. We said she lived in the suburbs.
The most racist place in New York, Jersey. White folks didn't fool with people in Jersey.
Hey girl, but Jersey is
Jersey's the most ghetto place in New York.
Huh?
Jersey is the most ghetto place in New York. Now, yes, there is some nice
sweet
areas. Girl. Jersey is the most ghetto place in New York.
That's two different places.
Right. Up north. Jersey is the most ghetto place. It's like Compton and freaking California. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Compton and Long Beach. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's like day and night. So for Wendy to make those comments, and when Roland Martin came on, and she pretty much apologized because she knew it sounded stupid, but to get some of her sponsors back, she did that. But in the long run, she made herself look stupid by saying, oh, I just didn't know. She pulled the blind moment. Please don't say you don't know. Just say you did it and it was, you know, you thought it was going to be a laughing type of thing, and when your whole audience, nobody clapped, nobody laughed, nobody interacted with you for making them dumbass comments, then come back and be an honest person that maybe your sponsors will pick you up. Don't play the game of, oh, I didn't know. Let me call my good friend Roland after he ringed me on the phone and let him educate us. No, he's not educating us, and he's not educating you because you're not stupid, but you thought it was going to pull in your white audience. Please, if you're going to do something and be on that platform, do like Oprah. When Oprah spoke about something, she was very intelligent about speaking it. Wendy Williams is not an uneducated woman. She's not stupid by a long shot. She knows what she was doing, but she was trying to pull her white votes while the Black Lives Matter thing was going on, the white viewers, while the whole Black Lives Matter thing was going on. And you might have just did it as a jokey joke to, you know, make people laugh, to kind of clear the air about the whole racial thing. But your platform is not for that. Stick with what you know. Stick with the gossip of what's going on with Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
And leave the politics to somebody that actually deals with politics.
See? Now, girl, look, and I'm going to be truthful and honest with you, child, because, like, we had this conversation. I didn't know what the heck the HBCU even was myself, literally, until you just told me about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard the term. At least if I have heard it, it must have been in passing of some sort, but I never knew what it was. And so, again, for what you don't know, okay, I didn't know what it meant. So that's why I'm like, what is that, like a society or something? Because it's like HBCU. It sounds like a society, but I was thinking it was like the head bitch or something. No, it's not that. No, that's HBIC. No. So, you know, I'm like, so I'm literally like, well, what does HBCU even mean? Because I've never heard that term because, you know, I was never one in the collegiate area for the most part. And when I've even gone to school, I've went to school online, so I can't even say I went to historically whatever college. It might be a historically black college online. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, Kaplan University, it is what it is, but I don't know. So that's what I don't know. And, again, now, I would not have approached it in the manner of which she did because I don't know. So I'm going to talk about something like you said. I'm going to do the Oprah approach. Learn about it first. Get some information or at least be open-minded when you're talking about it. But don't just put something out there like, you know what you're talking about because you don't know what you're talking about. But if you don't understand why they have it, my thing is when I found out what it actually meant, then I know why they have it because, hey, it is what it is. There was a time when, black folks did not actually, get accepted into certain schools. So they had to create their own schools, basically. And that's where the historic part comes in there because it's a historically black college or university. That's where that term comes from. You didn't need to say that about white colleges because it was just all what it was. Only white people could go there. So it was an unnecessary thing to say, like all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag unnecessary. How about that hashtag? How about that? So hashtag unnecessary because you don't need to say certain things. It's just, okay, we know this. So it would be no purpose to be an HWCU. That's most colleges in this country. Historically, black colleges let people know that, yes, this college basically started because of the whole history of our black people. That's the purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you can't understand it, then you're not trying to.
Right. And some people, try not to get into the whole thing of saying if when they don't understand stuff, with Wendy's platform, they try to skim over it and talk about other things. And that's my biggest thing with her. If you were ignorant to that, which we know she's not, but if you didn't understand why black colleges were called black colleges and white colleges wasn't called white colleges because white colleges were there first and they didn't allow black people in their colleges. If you didn't understand that, then research it before you get on national TV and make a damn ass out of yourself, especially when everything is going on the way it is going on.
Mm-hmm.
People are hurting right now. People are marching. People are protesting. People are hurting. So with that, as a black woman with a platform, don't use your platform to get white ratings. Use your platform to help help the people that's actually hurting. Everybody will start watching you then. Don't be dumb, just like with President Obama. Yes, a lot of people side-eyed that we were going to get a black president 8 years ago, but he didn't single out, oh, yeah, I'm running for the black people. No, he was running for the people, and he was looking for change. And that is what she's not – that's what she's missing. She thought by taking her blackness out, that she would get supported. She should actually take a couple of lessons from Rest in Peace Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson did the same thing. He tried to change up his style and his image for a different type of audience, where at the end of the day, he had to make Remember the Time, and he had to make They Don't Really Care About Us, and he had to go to Africa and to the jails and show that, they don't really care about us. Because at the end of the day, they still reminded him, Mike, you're still a black man. You're still a black man. So that's when he came up closer to the end and started making music to support us. Now, I'm not saying that Michael left us, because he didn't. He related better with them, and that's what he did, but they had to always remind him, Michael, you are a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Wendy, it being in that you deal with those celebrity statuses, realize that. She's totally, I had to watch the video again of her, like, pretty much side-eyeing Raven Simone with her comments. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to side-eye Raven Simone, you got to look at what you just did as well. And then you did it at a worse time. Raven Simone did it and nothing was going on.
Actually,
but you did it at
the beginning
when
it was
first
starting. So it's like, yeah, if you're going to be ignorant at the beginning so you can learn something at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I said Raven Simone did it at the beginning, child. So it's like, yeah, if you're going to do something ignorant, do it at the beginning so you can learn something at the end.
Right, and like she said, she doesn't identify herself as black.
Yeah.
That's Raven Simone. Well, go great, Raven. You don't have to. But don't be black when it's convenient for you.
I don't think it's ever convenient.